Shalom, Chag Sameach to those of you who are observing this day's day of Yom Tov, and Isru Chag Sameach for those of you who are not observing this day as Yom Tov, but rather observing it as an Isru Chag. It is a great pleasure and a privilege and honor to introduce our next speaker. Rav Reuven Unger is well known to you now, for sure, by the emails that you get. Aside from being a Marbitz Torah over the internet, Rav Unger is... I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. Rav Unger is a Talmid Chacham par excellence. He's also a very, very close friend of mine. And aside from that, when I was Shana Aleph in a yeshiva called Shalom for Men, which I know you've never heard of before, I'll explain to you afterwards, Rav Unger was my Rebbe for Bekiah. So I used to go to Rav Unger's Bekiah Shir. And so it's both a personal pleasure as well as a professional pleasure, an institutional pleasure to invite Rav Unger to speak with us. Rav Unger is, he is important for you because, for many reasons, one of the most important reasons why Rav Unger is here is because Rav Unger is the director of alumni affairs for both Shalvim for Men as well as Shalvim for Women. So that's important on some important levels, which you can imagine, on main Bezrat Hashem at the right time. It's also important on the level of keeping you involved and keeping you up to date with what's going on in the greater Shalvim. He is a person and a personality who you will, I would imagine, you'll be blessed to see with frequency in America over the course of your brief, hopefully brief, sojourn there. So it is a tremendous pleasure, and with much pride we introduce Rav Reuven Unger.
I appreciate that warm welcome from the Rav Turetsky, and it's a great pride and privilege to be a chaver of Turetsky. Okay, good to be here. Welcome, everybody. Bezrat Hashem, let's learn about the Kedusha of Beit Knesset in principle, in general, and of Ezrat Nashim in particular. What's the status of Ezrat Nashim vis-a-vis where the fellows hang out in shul? So in order to do that, we first will explore the status of a Beit Knesset and Beit Midrash in general, and from there we'll go to Ezrat Nashim and we'll see if there's a correlation between the two, and we will see some very differing opinions in the course of the Shir Bezrat Hashem. Any questions, objections, things to add on, please don't be shy, let's learn together. Okay. Especially now that the Chag Shavuot, Nisru Chag, the focus in the Beit Mikdash, we'll see how much the Kedusha extends to other places as well. Okay, let's start with a Gemara Masechet Megillah, which will be our introduction. Top right. The Pasuk says in Sefer Yechezkel, not in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Pasuk says, Va'ehi lahem u'mikdash ma'at. I will be for them a miniature mikdash. What is it referring to? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Elu batei knesiot uvatei midrashot shebivavel. Shuls and batei midrash in Chutz Laaretz, like in Bavel, or even outside of the Beit Mikdash anywhere, are a mikdash ma'at. They are somewhat holy. So what does that mean? What type of halfway house is this? Is it the real deal or not? We don't like things which are quasi. Is there real Kedusha in a Beit Knesset in Teaneck or a Beit Midrash in France? Is it the real deal? Is it a legal fiction? What is the concept Mikdash Me'at? So we see a few different opinions. The first is the Urayim. The Urayim is one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim who was not that well known as others. Rav the Shloshim of the great Gaon Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, and one of the things that Rav Lichtenstein did when he taught is he quoted a lot of the until then obscure Ashkenazi Rishonim. Urayim is one of them. So the Urayim talks about different mitzvot, and he says the following. So in the top right, Morat Mikdash, respect of the Mikdash. The Pasuk says in Sefer Vayikra, V'yareita me'lokecha. We have to fear from Hashem. Tziva is a command. Bikanes adam le'mikdash. When a person enters the Beit HaMikdash, and which should be rebuilt speedily in our days, not far from here. O Bevet HaKnesset or a shul, or Levet HaMidrash, where we are right now. Shinhag Bahem Mora V'Kibud, we have to have respect and honor. Dechtir Befashat Bar Sinai, Et Shabtotai Tishmaru, U'Mikdashi Tira'u. Now, parenthetically, do we worship sticks and stones? No. Who do we worship? Only the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So we don't worship the Beit HaMikdash. What do Chazal say? Lo mimikdashi ata yareh. We don't have trepidation and fear of the physical structure of the Beit HaMikdash. Ela mimi shehizhir al HaMikdash. The person, well not the person, named the Kaddish Baruch Hu, who commanded us about respect for Mikdash. Perish min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, we don't worship anything except for Hashem. So when we talked about respect for the Beit HaMikdash, it's not that there's an autonomous source of Kedusha called the Beit HaMikdash and we're scared of that and we worship that. No, we worship the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who commanded us that we only serve Hashem. If you just note, the Meshech Chachma, one of the greatest Mefarshim, on Parshat Kitisa by Chayta Egel, says the following thing. How could Moshe Rabbeinu smash the Luchot? How do you do a thing of that nature? If you look at Chazal, the people were worshipping Moshe Rabbeinu as a mistake. And when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down in time, on the 40th day, there's a miscalculation of the people, they said, oh, what's going to be? How are we going to serve Hashem? They confused serving Hashem with Moshe Rabbeinu. So what they do? They made an Egel. So they needed some type of physical structure to worship. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he sees that the people mistook him for the Kadosh Baruch Hu and they mistook an Egel for Kadosh Baruch Hu. If he gives them the Luchot, they'll worship the Luchot and not Hashem. So he smashed the Luchot to stress the fact that we only serve the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Luchot, and not the Egel. So that's the point over here, that when we have fear of the Beit HaMikdash, it's not of the Beit HaMikdash, it's respecting the place which Hashem told us to respect. Because He is the boss, what He says goes, and everything else is within the system which He ordained through the Torah. Okay, let's go back to this. Now, third line. So the Pasuk says, U'mikdashi tirau, and that seems to indicate the Beit HaMikdash. So how do we learn out from here that this includes Batei Knesset and Batei Midrash? Umatzinu, so answers the Urayim, Umatzinu Beit HaKnesset to Beit HaMidrash, Shenikru Mikdash. But indeed, the Torah refers to shuls and to Batei Midrash as Mikdash as well. D'tanya, we learn in the Brayta of a Torah Kohanim. What's Torah Kohanim? That's the Drashot of Chazal on Sefer Vayikra. The Pasuk says, Vashimolti, I will destroy et Mikdisheichem, Lashon Rabim. Mikdash, it doesn't say. Mikdashi, it doesn't say. It says Mikdisheichem, Lashon Rabim. L'rabot, to include, Batei Knesiot uvatei Midrashot. So included in Mikdasheichem, which certainly refers to Beit Mikdash, it also refers to a Beit Knesset and a Beit Midrash, which we're in right now. We understand from here, when the Torah said, not Rabbanan, when the Torah said, now biblical level, et mikdashi tira'u, shebatei knesiyot vatei midrashot bichlal, are included. Vamora mahu, what type of fear are we referring to? What type of respect is the Torah referring to? Eino mefurash b'mikra, it's not explicit in the pasuk. Ufeshu chachamim, and Chazal explain, kol achad afi svarato, lefi chomer kedushato. According to the degree of severity, that determines what level of respect. For example, right now, some people it's a suchad, some people it's not. Those people in this suchad, we have money on us, right? We imagine shkalim on us, and some dollars. In a Beit HaMikdash, are we allowed to walk around with money? No. All right. So even though a shul and a Beit Midrash has kedusha, we are allowed to take money into it, assuming it's not Shabbat. Whereas a Beit Midrash, not at all. So even though there is kedusha in a Beit Midrash and a Beit Knesset, it's not the same level as the Beit HaMikdash. But in principle, does the mitzvah of Moran Mikdash apply to a Beit Knesset and Beit Midrash as well? What does the Urayim hold? It applies. Yes, he says it's included. And maybe one might say, this is only Durabanan, it's only an Asmachta. An Asmachta is something which the Torah says A, and it does not refer to B, but in order to impress the people of the importance of something, Chazal will take a Din Durabanan and quote a Pasuk, and there'll be Solmechit, they will support it with the pasuk. That's not the case here. How do we know this? Let's jump down to the Chaye Adam. The Chaye Adam was a acharon, Rav Danzig in Poland, and he wrote a work on Orach Chaim called Chaye Adam, and he also wrote a work on Yoredeya, Hilchot Kashrut, called Chachmat Adam. So in the Chaye Adam, this is the following thing. It says, Ot Vav, Kedushat Beit HaKnesset, Beit HaMidrash, Gedolah Ma'od, very powerful, Umuzharim Aleihem, Lirah, to have respect, Mimisha Shochen Bahem, Fir Hashem, Dechtiv, Mikdashi Tirah, Lo Beit HaKnesset, Mavad, Al Kol Makom HaMikudash, Beit HaKnesset, Beit HaMidrash, Mikra, Mikdash Ma'at, we saw earlier, Kedechtiv, Vahilam, Mikdash Ma'at. Eilu Batek Nisad, Vedeh Midrashot, Vechadvu Aposkim, Umitzvah Lirah, Mikdash, Nang Beit HaKnesset, Beit HaMidrash. What's the next word? What's the next word? First word in the left column? Help me out. Once again, Mide Oraita, Ayin Sefirayim, which means Minat Torah. So the Chaye Adam, in understanding the Yireyim, holds that really, this is the real deal, that on a biblical level, that when the Torah says, Umikdashi Tirau, the Torah is also referring to a Beit Knesset and a Beit Midrash. Now, it's not in the same degree. A person who's tamei and walks into shul doesn't get karet. He's allowed to walk into shul at all. He is allowed to walk into shul. But what? In principle, the mitzvah of respect of a Beit Knesset and Beit Midrash is min haTorah. And now, the Chafetz Chaim, in the beginning of the Sefer of Lashon Hara, he has a long introduction where he counts the mitzvot lo taseh, mitzvot taseh, in the klalot, the person who chalila does avodah zarah, Lashon Hara, gets. So if a person speaks Lashon Hara in a shul, according to Chafetz Chaim, he's over the Issa of a Mikdashi Tirau. It's according to the Yireyim, it's a mitzvah in the Torah of having respect in the shul. Now, there's absolutely no reason to speak Lashon Hara in a shul. So a person who speaks Lashon Hara in a shul is over the Avera of Umikdashi Tirau on a Diraita level. Okay, so that is one approach, that Mina Torah, we have to respect a shul and a Beit Midrash, literally the room we're in right now, on a Diraita level. Okay, but the Sfardi Rishonim disagree with the Yireyim. They hold differently. Let's take a look in the two paragraphs in the Rashi Ktav in the middle. In Masechet Megillah, the Gemara discusses how people can transfer Kedusha of shuls and sell shuls and make tna'im and make conditions concerning the Kedusha of a shul. Now, but that begs the question, what is the halachic status of a shul? Where does the Kedusha in the shul come from? So, says the Ramban, the Ram's quoting him, so we're smack in the middle on the right side, this is Rabbeinu Nissim, in smack in the middle, there's underlined lines, it's B'tiret Zal, the Beit HaKnesset, Asuoto, namely Chazal, on a Drabanan level, Kiteshmishe Mitzvah, Kisuka Velulav, Shizakin Lachar Mitzvatan. Okay, there are two different types of mitzvot. There are Dvarim Shebekdusha, and there are mitzvot. A chayfetz, an object which has Torah written on it, namely a Sefer Torah, namely Tefillin, namely the mezuzah, has Kedusha in it, which is a very high level of Kedusha. We have to be very, very careful with it. And if, God forbid, we can't use it anymore, we bury it in the ground, we don't throw it out. But mitzvot, like tzitzit, like lulav, once we are finished with the mitzvah, halachically, we're allowed to throw them out. Now, obviously, we should throw it out in a respectful way, wrap it up in plastic or in a bag and then put it in the garbage, but min ikara din, according to the Ber Halacha, we are allowed to throw it out. Because the mitzvah, once we use it, we have to respect it. Afterwards, we're allowed to throw it out. So, according to the Ramban, because we are mekayim mitzvot in a Beit Knesset, I'm talking Beit Knesset right now, namely, we daven, we have tefillah, therefore, as long as we use this room for a prayer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, or this room for Torah, therefore, Chazal says it's like a tashmish mitzvah. There's no kedusha, but as a level of tashmish mitzvah, it's used for a mitzvah, and therefore, while we're doing the mitzvah, we don't disrespect it. That is the kedusha of a Beit Knesset according to Ramban. It's only on a Drabanan level because of what we do here, because of mitzvot, first and primary, in the Beit Knesset, tefillah. That's the Ramban. The Ran says a little bit differently. Let's jump down to the next paragraph, smack in the middle. Lefikach nirali, where it's underlined, debate haKnesset udikavate, and things like it. Kevan sheikaro asui lomar bo dvar shebikdusha. Because in essence, the major thrust of it is to say dvarim shebikdusha. Nehemi Fidel, thank you very much. Thanks, all right? Hitilu bo chachamim kdusha mi divrehem. Therefore, Chazal made it drabanan, there is kedusha in the room itself. In other words, do you write there's no kedusha? But because we say here dvarim shebikdusha, we daven, people say kaddish, they say kedusha. Therefore, it has kedusha on a drabanan level. Why? Because of what transpires here. So let's just sum up. According to the chachamim asfaradim, the rishonim, the Ramban and the Ran, Dioraita, on a Torah level, the Kedusha of the Mikdash is not found in a Beit Knesset, in a Beit Midrash. Dioraita, there's no Kedusha here, and there's no mitzvah of Yirat Beit Mikdash, Beit Knesset, the Beit Midrash, on a Dioraita level. However, came along Chazal and said, because of what transpires in a shul, namely, Tfilah, therefore, either it's like a tashmish, it's a usage of doing a mitzvah like lulav, or there is some kedusha on the drabanan level because of the dvarim shebikdusha, which we recite in here. So we've seen, as far as the Rishonim are concerned, two separate approaches. According to Yireim, it's minat Torah. According to the Ramban and the Ran, it's only on a drabanan level. Okay, so before we get to Ezrat Nashim, so far we're okay? Okay? We're good, because then this is referring to Ezrat Gvarim. What happens in Ezrat Nashim? Does that make a difference in Ezrat Nashim and Ezrat Gvarim or not? I just want to stress that in terms of architecture, there are really two separate ways of looking at this. That in some shuls, you have one large room, and Ezrat Nashim is either in the back or on a balcony up on top, or both. That's one approach, where it's really one big room with the mechitza. Other places, which aren't that common nowadays, you have one physical structure, which is just for men, and then in the back, like you have another room in the back with a separate window, which is like a further structure, and that's far further removed. So just pointing out that some poskim make a distinction between these two cases. That's how we're going today, just wanted to mention that. Okay, now, we're going to see a few different opinions. The first opinion might be a little bit harsh, but just realize there are more coming up. Okay, so you've been warned. Okay, so put your seatbelts and take it. Okay. Said the Chachman had done the following thing. Just remember that there will be more opinions coming up. Okay, now, we all know there's a beautiful thing called renovations. All right, that sometimes shuls have been around for a while. It's time to get a facelift. So how can we do things of that nature? So says the Chachman had done the following thing. Where the Chachmat Adam is the same person as the Chayei Adam. So it says the following thing in the bottom right. Chachmat Adam. Hasoter, if a person destroys, afilu even achat, even just one stone from the Mizbech and the Beit HaMikdash, derech hashchata, like vandalism, when it's not for constructive purpose, min haMizbech or min haMikdash, lokeh, he gets malkot, very bad. Shinemar, because as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, we're supposed to destroy the altars of Avodah Zarah, but we're not allowed to do that to the Mizbeach of Hashem. So as where we should destroy idolatry, but we're forbidden to do that to the Mizbeach of Hashem. So if a person goes to the Beit HaMikdash and does wanton destruction, he's over a lav. And now, seeing that we just talked about the Mikdash, how does this apply nowadays in Batei Knesset and Batei Midrash? Asur lintotz even achat mi Beit HaKnesset or Beit HaMidrash. We're not allowed to turn to destroy even one stone, one brick in the wall of a shul or of a Beit Midrash. What about renovations? So he says like this, derech hashchata. If it's done wanton destruction, vandalism, God forbid, where there's nothing positive about it, then it's forbidden. Aval derech tikkun, but if a person does it in a positive way, namely renovations, construction, to make it better, mutar, that's okay. All right, now hold on tight. Venerally, we're jumping over the parentheses, venerally, De'asur l'stur kotel beit ha'kineset. It's forbidden to tear down a wall in a shul. La'asot chalonot, to make windows, le'ezrat nashim. Why? De'ezrat nashim ein bo kushat beit ha'kineset klal. What's he say? It's like this. Let's say you have a room for the men, and they want to make a room in the back for the women. But it's nice if you see and if you hear what's going on. So what do? So you make you cut in the wall a hole and for a window. So people, the sound waves will get through and you can see what's going on as right come in. So according to the Chachmat Adam, that is forbidden. Why? Because there's Kedusha in the Ezrat Gvarim, but he says, Ezrat Nashim, he says there's no Kedusha at all. So therefore we're destroying something which is Kadosh for something which is not, which is forbidden. So according to the Chachmat Adam, it sounds that there's no Kedusha in the Ezrat Nashim. And this is very surprising, because logically speaking, why not? And secondly, this is the same person who's the Chachmat Adam, who holds that the guy's side, there's Kedusha min HaTorah, so which is a very high level, which is stronger than Drabanan. So for the guys, there's Kedusha on a Diorite level. For women, none at all. That's a very large transition. Whereas others hold that to begin with, it's only Drabanan, but he goes from Diorite for men to zero for women. How can it be that, according to him, there's all this great Kedusha on a Diorite level in Ezrat Gvarim, when it comes to women's side, there's nothing. How can that be? That's the question which we'll resolve in a few minutes, Bezrat Hashem. Now, on the other side, the Dvar Yeshua quotes the Balzer Rebbe, will say the side who said there's more Kedusha in Ezrat Nashim than Ezrat Gvarim. Why is this so? Because the Gemara in Megillah talks about what's greater, a Beit Knesset or a Beit Midrash? Because Beit Midrash is Torah, and Beit Knesset is Tefillah. And there's a machlokin amongst the Moroyim, what is higher level, Tefillah or Torah? So, according to Belzer Rebbe, quoting Dvar Yeshua, in a guy side of a shul, there's a clash going on here. They have shiurim there, and you have Tefillah there, and both sides are pushing each other around. Whereas the Nashim side, the Ezrat Nashim, it's just Tefillah, and therefore there's no clash here, and it's much more powerful. And therefore, according to the Belzer Rebbe, as opposed to the Chachmat Adam, there's more Kedusha in the Ezrat Nashim than the Ezrat Gvarim. All right, so we've seen two varying approaches, very diametrically opposed approaches. But the consensus opinion is the Aruch HaShulchan. He says that one's echo in the other, that in the Ezrat Nashim there is Kedusha. Let's take a look in the bottom right, in the Aruch HaShulchan. This was a contemporary of Epstein. He was the Rav in Novardik. He was a contemporary of the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishneh Berurah. So, he says the following thing, bottom right, Ha'azarot, Shel Beit HaKnesset, the hallways near a shul, Ein Lahem Din Tushat Beit HaKnesset, they do not have the Kedusha of a shul, Afilu mitpalin bahem bakrai. Even if occasionally people daven, for example, Friday afternoons or a little bit late getting the shul, things of that nature, avav. Im mitpalim sham tamid. But if there are set minyanim in the halls, then yesh alea kedushat beit hakneset. V'chein beit hakneset shel nashim, yesh alea kedushat beit hakneset, kevan shanashim. He says it's very, very simple. Women daven in the Beit Knesset in Ezrat Nashim, so it's Kadosh, just like the guy's side. Because, let's think about it. According to the Ramban and the Ran, the Kedusha of a Beit Knesset for guys stems from what transpires in the shul. Namely what? Namely Tefillah and Dvarim Shebekdusha. That applies in the women's side as well. Just like guys come to daven, women come to daven. And the halacha states women have to daven. And just like the guys are reciting Kedusha and Kaddish, women can join in as well. So therefore, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it makes sense. There's Kedusha in the guy's side, there's Kedusha in the women's side as well. Now, the Divrei Chayim, the Tzanzer Rav, about 200 years ago, he in theory agrees with this. He says there also is Kedusha in Ezrat Nashim. He says a little bit less. Why? Because more things take place on the guy's side. There's Tefillah on both. But when it's Tkiyat Shofar, it usually is being blasted from the guy's side. And Kriyat Megillah and Halakat Ner Chanukah. But what does it show? Quantitatively, there's more stuff going on in Ezrat Gvarim. But in theory, there's also Kedusha in Ezrat Nashim because of what transpires there. So, before we go, before we get to the crux of the matter, let's just sum up. the major opinion of the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ran, is that this Kedusha, Derabbanan, in a Beit Knesset and a Beit Midrash. What does this stem from? From what takes place there? Namely, Tefillah, another mitzvot. And therefore, it stands to reason, likewise, there's also Kedusha in Ezrat Nashem. Because just like men are davening, women are davening as well. Just like there's a responsibility for men to daven, women must daven as well. That is the major opinion that we understand. The Kedusha stems from what goes on, and therefore, just like there's Tefillah on Ezrat Kvarim, there's also Tefillah in Ezrat Nashem. That makes sense. But what in the world is going on with the Shita of the Chayi Adam and the Chachmat Adam? They go like the Urayim, he goes like the Urayim, that on the guy's side, this Kedusha, the Uraita. But on the Nashim side, there isn't at all. That's a large gulf. Why? What is the reason why there's such a big gap between the guy's side and the girl's side, according to the Urayim and those who go like in the Chayi Adam and the Chachmat Adam? So, the big point is like this. Up until now, we said the Kedusha of the soul stems from what transpires there, right? We daven, and therefore it's like a Tashim Shmitzvah, and therefore it's like Kedusha Drabana. Fine. But there's another way of looking at it, and this way Rav Soloveitchik explains. Okay, there's a fellow, anybody from Los Angeles? Pico Robertson on the other side. Oh, so on the other side, there's a wonderful person in Mass in LA. All right, you got to represent it for LA, okay? So there's a wonderful family rep, Tzvika Reisman, all right? Yeah. So he's a wonderful Ben Torah who on the side dabbles in business, but he writes Sfarim. So he writes a lot of Sfarim. On the side, he dabbles in business. So he has a book called Ratzke Tzvi, and he has very exciting, and he quotes Rav Schechter, quoting Rav Soloveitchik, who says the following thing, that the Kedusha of a shul stems from the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash, that the model is the Beit Mikdash, and just like there's Kedusha in the Beit Mikdash, on a certain degree, there also is Kedusha in a Beit Knesset. So let's take a look in the Ratzke Tzvi, on the left side of the page, the third line, Hagrid Soloveitchik, which stands for Hagon Rav Yosef Tov Soloveitchik, Zatzal, and it's going Panini Rav, that's Rav Schechter Sefer on the Rav. His beer. We're in the third line, the fourth line right now. But often he the intrinsic place has Kedusha, not stemming from what takes place there, but rather from what exists there. Let's take a look. Ikaro, in the third line of the second paragraph. Ikaro shel Mishkan, we're going back to the Mishkan. Haya ha'aron imaluchot. We all know. The center room of the Mishkan is the Kodesh Kodeshim. And what's in the Kodesh Kodeshim, you tell me? The Aron with the Shtei Luchot HaBrit of Mamad Har Sinai. V'asher Kain, who nikra Mishkan HaEdut, Hashem Luchot HaEdut. Because the defining factor of the Mishkan is the Kodesh Kodeshim with the Shtei Luchot HaBrit. That's the focal point. Now, according to the Ramban, the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, rather, is a continuation of Mamad Har Sinai. Hashem's talking to us. How does Hashem talk to us? With the Torah. And what's the Torah? Shtei Luchot HaBrit. According to Rav Soloveitchik, this concept extends into the Beit HaMikdash as well. Okay, we're on the fifth line. V'af v'Beit HaMikdash kein haya, she'ikaro shel Beit HaMikdash haya ha'aron imaluchot. Now get ready for the next line. U'Beit HaMikdash b'li luchot, no Beit HaMikdash. This is a defining factor. If the Shtei Luchot HaBrit are absent from the Beit HaMikdash, then the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash has evaporated, it doesn't exist. Historically speaking, does that make sense to us? Do we know now in the second Beit HaMikdash, do we have the Shtei Luchot HaBrit?
No.
No, there are five, very, very good. There are five things missing from the second Beit HaMikdash, which exists in the first Beit HaMikdash. And first and foremost was the Shtei Luchot HaBrit. So how can Rav Soloveitchik say this? How can you say that the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash is predicated, is based, depends upon the Shtei Luchot HaBrit, if in the second Beit HaMikdash, they weren't there? And we all know the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash applied in the second Beit HaMikdash as well. So, if you ask from a Rambam, you have to give an answer from a Rambam. So Rav Soloveitchik says the following thing. He asked this question, so how can this be? You have this great thesis that all depends on the Shtetl Chot Abri, but that didn't exist in the second day of Mikdash. So he says the following thing. Let's take a look, eighth line. Ayin Rambam, Reish, in the beginning of Perek Dal, Mi Beit HaBachira, Shekatav, Shebe'eit Shebana Shlomo Tabayit. When Shlomo HaMelech, in the Bayit Rishon, built the Beit HaMikdash, the Yada Shesofo Lecharev. Shlomo knew that in the future it will be destroyed. What did he do? Bana bo makom lignoz bo ha'aron lamata. He constructed deep in the chambers of the Mikdash, subterranean room, where the Torah will be hidden. In the Moniot HaMukot, the deep chambers, vakalkalot, hidden away, the Yoshiyahu HaMelech Tzivah, and when the time came, was about to be destroyed, Yoshiyahu said, now's the time to take the Shtetl Chot Abrit and to hide him down there. Beganzob makom shabana Shlomo. So what's going on here? Is the Rambam's job to teach us history? No. The Rambam's aim is to teach us halacha. The Rambam is teaching us that even though in the second Beit HaMikdash we didn't see where the Shtetl Chot Abrit were, they really were there. They were a few floors down, very deep and hidden, but they really were there. Why? Because if they wouldn't have been there, the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash would not have existed. And therefore, Rambam's teaching us halacha, that in order that the Kedusha stays, therefore Shlomo HaMelech, from the way beginning, had foresight and made sure that no matter what, there will be a place for the Shtetl Chot Abrit, which is the Torah, to be in the Beit HaMikdash. Either it's upstairs when things are fine, or it's downstairs when things are not that good. But it has to be there, because without the Shtetl Chot Abrit, there is no Kedusha in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so that is the principle of Beit HaMikdash. Now what's the Kedusha? It stems from the Torah. What's the philosophy behind us? Behind us, Hashem is speaking to us through the Torah. Now, says the Rav that the same thing applies in Beit Knesset. A Beit Knesset as well, quantitatively, there's less Kedusha than the Beit HaMikdash. Once again, a person, when it's not Shabbat or Yom Tov, can take a wallet into a Beit Knesset, not into the Beit HaMikdash. But the Kedusha of the Beit Knesset is also predicated on the Torah, namely having an Aron with the Sefer Torah. A defining factor of a Beit Knesset is the Sefer Torah. If there's not a Mokum for the Sefer Torah, then it's not a Beit Knesset. That doesn't mean that one can't take out a Beit the Sefer Torah and dance with it on Simchat Torah. But there has to be an Aron with a place for and having the Sefer Torah. Because just like in the Beit Mikdash, the Kedusha stems from the Shtetl Chot Abrit, likewise the Beit Knesset, which is a derivative of the Beit Mikdash, there has to be a Torah and a place for the Torah. And if there is no Sefer Torah, it is not a Beit Knesset. So what do we see according to this approach? The Kedusha of the Beit Mikdash / Beit Knesset does not stem from what transpires there, from the tefillah, but rather from what exists there, namely what? The Sefer Torah. In the Beit Mikdash, Shtetl Chot Abrit. In the Beit Knesset, a regular Sefer Torah. That is the theory of Rav Soloveitchik. It's not what transpires in a shul which brings the Kedusha, but rather what exists in the shul which brings the Kedusha, namely Kedushat HaTorah. Okay, so, says Rav Zvika Reisman, based on this approach, let's take a look about Ezrat Nashim. We notice that in the Beit HaMikdash, there are three levels. There is Machane Yisrael, just like in the Mishkan, just like in the Midbar. There's Machane Yisrael, which is looking to move. Then there's Machane Leviah, and then there's Machane Shechina. So Ezrat Nashim in the Beit HaMikdash was Machane Leviah, only by Ezrat Yisrael, which is for the guys, that is where Machane Shechina started. Why? Because it had more of an access to the Torah, which was closer there, and there was not a Mechitza. Likewise, in Shul, once there's a Mechitza, that divides between the Torah, and therefore the Kedusha will not extend to, according to this opinion, to the Ezrat Nashim. According to this, because what happens? The Yireim and the Chachay Adam and Chachmat Adam, they are of the opinion, for this approach of Rav Soloveitchik of the Rambam, that the Kedusha stems from access to the Torah. Therefore, the Kedusha of Beit HaMikdash is based on the Torah. If there's a mechitza between Ezrat Kvarim and Ezrat Nashim in the Beit HaMikdash, that divides with the Torah, and therefore the Kedusha does not extend to there. It's no longer Machaneh Shechina. Likewise, in the Shul, only Ezrat Kvarim, which is clear access to the Aron of the Beit Knesset, which has the Sefer Torah, there is Kedusha Beit Knesset, but not Ezrat Nashim. But the dominant opinion is of the Ramban and the Ran and the Aruch HaShulchan, that what it's not, the Kedusha doesn't stem from what exists there, but rather from what transpires there. And what transpires in the Shul? The Tefillah. And the Tefillah applies just like in Ezrat Kvarim, there's Tefillah, there's also Tefillah in Ezrat Nashim, and therefore the consensus opinion is that yes, indeed, there is Kedusha in Ezrat Nashim, and just like we have to respect the halachot of Ezrat Kvarim, likewise Ezrat Nashim as well. So let's write on just 2 points about this. In Masechet Brachot, there's a very large sefer called Rishimot Shiurim. Rav Reichman, who's a Rebbe in YU, he has notes of Rav Soloveitchik on about 5-6 different Masechetot, and the biggest one so far is Masechet Brachot, and he quotes over there that in the Beit HaMikdash itself, there's a difference of opinion. What's the focal point of the Beit HaMikdash? Is the focal point, as we said earlier, it's a continuation of Ma'amad Har Sinai, of the Mishkan, of the Torah, with the focal point being the Kodesh HaKodeshim? That's the focal point, it's the Torah that we learned till now. Or that the Beit HaMikdash itself, the focal point is what? Is the Avodah, is the Karbanot, is the Mizbeach, where we worship Hashem over there. And if we say that the focal point is on the Avodah, it makes sense that the Shul as well, that the focal point is the Tefillah. Because nowadays, that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, but in the meantime, what do we do instead of Karbanot? We daven. And therefore, as long as there's Tefillah in the Beit Knesset, that is a determining factor. That brings in the Kedusha, at least in the Drabanan level. And therefore, just like in Ezrat Gvarim, there's Tefillah, in Ezrat Nashim, there's Tefillah as well. I just want to sum up with one last point to Rav Soloveitchik about this. That the Gemara says that there were some Amoraim that they learned in the Beit Midrash, and instead of going to Shul Medavin, they would daven in their Beit Midrash. Now, a question which arises is, did they have a minyan or not? All right, because if they didn't have a minyan, that's a very profound statement. That even though there's a minyan in Shul, but they wanted to daven where they learned. Most opinions hold that they had a minyan in their Batei Midrash, just it would have been a bigger minyan, Barov Am Hadrat Melech, and more impressive if they would have gone to Shul. But instead, the Dafka wanted to daven where they learned. So Rav Soloveitchik explains the following thing. What's Avodah Shebelev? What's Avodah Shebelev? So Chazal explained that Avodah Shebelev, worship of the heart, what does it mean? Chazal give two explanations. One is Tefillah, all right? That when we daven the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we show he's the boss and everything is dependent upon him, and we are dependent upon him. That's one idea of Shabbalev. We're showing our subjugation, our avdut, to Hashem. Another opinion is that Avodah Shabbalev is Talmud Torah. That by learning, we're also serving Hashem. Because why? Explains of Soloveitchik, like our two most intimate, our two most deepest powers are that of intellect and of emotions. And that intellect, we serve Hashem through learning His Torah, and emotions by diving to Him. And therefore, we want to unite the two, that there shouldn't be a distinction between our intellectual serving Hashem and our emotional serving Hashem. And therefore, daven in the place where we learn Torah, that's the place where we daven, to show that we're totally subjugated to Him, using our minds and using our hearts to worship Him. There shouldn't be a machloka between the mind and the emotions. It should all go together. So some of today we saw that is the focal point of the shul, the fact of the Torah being there, maybe the Talmud Torah, or is the focal point of tefillah, of serving Hashem. And really, both are very, very important, and that as a goal, we should b'zash and b'zocha to unite the two. Share a very good year b'zash and SFW, and b'zash and take everything good, both in both the intellectual side of Talmud Torah, and the emotional side of tefillah, and to put the two together, we should know from good things. It's been a pleasure, and continue with Chag Sameach, Yisru Chag Sameach.
Did you go by the shop?